Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. One, two, one, two.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope.
Voices of Hope family and friends. This is me, your host, Lady Quarterback. Woo woo! Happy New Year. Welcome to Sweet 16. I'm excited about what's going to happen this year. I hope you are. I hope you left everything in 2015 when you crossed over. Today, we're going to have a good day. As always, we're going to be here to bring you a gleam of hope. Hey, if you missed any of the other shows, you know, don't worry. The website is still up. You can go and listen to any past episode at www.themorningglory.org. www.themorningglory.org. We're going to do things a little differently today. Shout out to Minister Kim. I love you, Minister Kim E. Underwood. I love you so much. Y'all know I'm the conductor of the train today, so we're going to go for a ride. Not a long ride, but we're going to go for one anyhow. Today's topic is, what are the necessary steps in acceptance? So powerful. Something that I always say is that people look for acceptance. That's what we want to be validated and we want to be accepted at the end of the day. Once we kind of get through all of those challenges that come up with not having these things, I think we'll all be overall, because there's some good people here. I love my people, my tribe, as I call them. But the most important thing is to be accepted and to be validated. At the end of the day, that's it. I personally think that that is the basis for all humankind, mankind in general. So we have a wonderful, wonderful guest today that knows a lot about that. I'm going to let her tell her story. We have Ms. Tracy M. Smith. She is an entrepreneur. She's an author. Well, I just met her today. I haven't gotten any bad vibes, but she has a great, great spirit looking over some of the incredible things that she's done. She's the co-founder of Tracy's Bio. And most importantly, she's a cancer survivor. Cancer is just so rampant. I don't think we talk enough about it. Personally, that's just me. My sister-in-law just finished having a double mastectomy. And me on the other side of, you know, someone with an illness was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, I wasn't prepared. to kind of support her the way that she needed to be supported. I thank God that I did a good job. That's because I just prayed most of the time and asked God to help me, you know, make her feel better. But one of the things, you know, I really don't like to ask people with the illness is, how you doing? I don't know. That's just me, you know, and maybe Miss Tracy can help me with that a little bit. But she is incredible. She is incredible. So without further ado, I'm going to let her. Miss Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Wow, wow. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate that. What a way to start 2016 for me. Wow.
I know, right?
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Well, we're just going to just dive right in. I know the topic is what are the necessary steps in acceptance. But before we get to that, I believe this is a great topic or a great subtopic to start with, you know, having cancer. You know, it's more rampant nowadays, and it's starting younger. I mean, I'm like 45, but I'm starting to hear more cases of younger people or younger individual with this disease. First, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, not just me. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to kind of talk a little bit about your nonprofit. And then if you can just kind of think of some of the things that you can kind of help us with accepting us in our lives. Either we have it or we're on the other side. What kind of tips can you give people that's on the other side? So I know that's a lot, but whenever you're ready.
Okay, no problem. So I am a single mom of a beautiful princess, and I'm also a child care provider with my wonderful partner, Phyllis Young. Her and I have 6 daycare centers. We have a Christian academy, and we have a retail accessory store. And so we're pretty busy. We're pretty busy females, and, you know, in regards to just trying to live our life. And so in 2013, you know, while I'm just living my life, trying to be in the best shape of my life, I was running and, you know, I was did a couple of 5Ks. I was preparing for a 10K, and I felt a lump underneath my arm. And so I went to the doctor just as a routine checkup, thinking nothing of it. You know, I went to her office and I said to my doctor that I have a lump under my arm. Can you just, you know what it is? And she felt it. And she said, why are you here? I want you to go upstairs to the oncology department. Don't leave the hospital. Go upstairs. Dr. So-and-so is waiting for you. I said, okay, you know, that's, you know, no problem. I went upstairs and they did an ultrasound. Within that same day, he saw something in the ultrasound, and I saw a little white film as well. And he said, well, I'm going to do a biopsy. This all happened in one day. I'm going to do a biopsy right now. And 3 days later, I got a phone call saying that I have stage 3 breast cancer. So that's where sort of kind of my journey in reference to breast cancer started, unfortunately. And most people, you know, when you feel a lump, you get a mammogram. And so how lucky was I that my doctor had the know-how or the smarts to say, go upstairs now, rush this order. And then based upon him rushing this order, I was diagnosed, thank goodness, with stage 3 breast cancer. And so, again, that's how I started my journey in reference to my life, trying to help others. One, helping myself first, and then from there, helping others with breast cancer. So
wow.
My journey.
Wow.
A lot, right?
Wow, that's a remarkable story, actually. And I think that's what happened to my sister-in-law as well by the time and that happened. Wow. Whew. Okay, so with that, let's talk a little bit about Tracy's bio. How did that all start? And, I mean, that it's, I mean, I know you had to go through, there was a process that you had to go through mentally. I don't think people realize how mental, emotional, and spiritually taxing it is to, you know, find that out. You know, it attacks all of that at one time. It's not like you do one and then you do the other. It's like you attack all of those parts of a being at one time, your mental state, your emotional state, especially your spiritual state, whatever, you know, that is. It can be taxing. And in all of that, Tracy's bio was birthed.
Well, during, you know, the minute that, and anyone who has experienced cancer, the minute that you hear those words, I can remember being in a fog. I really just couldn't comprehend everything that they were saying to me. And so I brought somebody with me so I can be able to just sort of kind of, they told that person fed me the information back, because you are in a state of shock. You really are. And when I went to the doctors in April of 2013, I was not expecting that to happen. Again, yeah, you're right. Mentally, I was really just like, for a minute, I was sort of kind of messed up a little bit for a minute. And so when you go through the process and they tell you everything that has to be done, and, you know, I had 6 months of chemo, and I'm working on my sixth surgery, and I had radiation. I just decided that, and again, at the time, my daughter was 14 years old. And so I decided that I had to do whatever I had to do, because I'm a very protective mother. And so I did not want to show her that this is going to be. I wanted to make sure that she knew that her mother was a fighter. And I'm sure she knew that already. Her mother was a fighter, and I was going to fight this. And so I remember very, like it was yesterday, the first day of chemo, and they tell you of all the side effects, and trust me, I received every side effect. But when I walked into that room, and chemo is exactly what they say it is. It is horrible, I have to admit. It is just awful. And I just thought that, let me step back. The morning of chemo, I am lucky to have three pastor friends. The morning of chemo, one of my pastor friends said, can we hold a conference call, a prayer conference call for you? Invite your family, invite your friends, and we're going to pray this on this morning for you as you enter a new phase of your life. And so it was about 20 to 25 people on the prayer line. And we prayed. My daughter and I was in my room, and we actually kneeled to our knees, and we were crying. And she prayed over me. She prayed over my family. She prayed. And so I need to tell you, that was the basis of how I tackled chemo. Because from that point on, I actually walked into chemo that morning with a pretty dress. I had makeup on, and I had heels on. And I sashayed myself into chemo. Exactly, I was ready. And that's how I tackled the whole entire time when it came to me fighting this horrible disease. And I can remember my doctor or people saying, are you here for chemo or are you here to support? No, I'm here to get chemo.
No, I'm right. I'm the patient. Right, I'm ready.
Exactly. And my doctor would say, over the course of time, she would say, you know, if I had patients like you, if I had patients who had a positive spirit like you, or if I had patients that tackled this like you, and then so I guess a light bulb sort of kind of went off in my head, because I'm thinking I had an excellent support system. I did. My family and friends were awesome. They were there with me every chemo. My mother, may she rest in peace, she wheelchaired herself to chemo to make sure that she was there with me. And so a lot of people don't have that support system.
Right.
And so when I would go to chemo, people would be there by themselves or catching a bus there and going home by themselves. And any more time for me, just my experience, I needed my family and friends to be there for me. And so if I'm talking to other patients, I just thought that maybe I can offer how I tackled chemo. And that's how it all started. Tracy Bio means beautiful inside and out. And so as we go through chemo, we lose all the things that we see us being a female or making us feminine. I lost all of that. Lost my hair, eyebrows, eyelashes. Kind of lost my fingernails, but I still needed to feel pretty, if that makes any sense to your listeners. I needed to feel pretty while I was going through this crazy process. and what might seem sort of kind of it might not fit for everybody, but
right.
I was still working in my business. My business partner was handling most of the affairs, but I still wanted to go to work. And so
mm-hmm.
once I went to work, I had to make sure that I didn't want to look sick, because sometimes it can be very invasive. And
yeah.
so I just, you know, made sure I put a pretty wig on. I had people teach me how to put my eyebrows back on. And every day I put my best foot forward so I can fight pretty. That's what I did. I really tried to fight pretty, because mentally, as you said, it helped me. I felt better. I felt
yeah.
better. When you look better, you feel better. So for me,
yes.
that's how Tracy Bio started. You know what I mean? That's how I started. I started to try to help ladies look better and feel better while they went through this crazy process. So Beautiful Inside and Out started from that.
That's wonderful. But, you know, it's just not, you know, with cancer or going through something. It's just period. You know, whenever I feel depressed and down and don't want to get out of bed, you know, the first thing I do is take a shower and comb my hair. You know, because when you look better, you do feel better. And you can actually, I'll just say it, but you can deal with it better, in a better attitude. And a better attitude, because at the end of the day, we're here. This is it, you know.
Exactly.
And one of the things I kept reminding my sister-in-law, and I can speak about it because she's the closest thing to me that I
mm-hmm.
had to experience this, you know, go through this journey with, was, you know, it's all in about how you feel about it. You know, I didn't want her to think on the why me, woe is me, you know, what if. You know, and you do go there. What did I do to deserve this? You know, I heard that a couple of times. And, you know, just like the whole pitiful thing. And at the end of the day, I'll say, but Nicole, you're still here.
Right.
You know,
right.
building on that inside beauty that you said, Nicole, you're still alive. You know, you're still here.
Right.
You know, we can buy some more boobies. We can get more of those. That's fine. People buy boobies all the time. So that's nothing. But you're still here, and
that's
your testimony
right.
is going to be great. It's going to be great. Well, let's talk. That's an awesome story. I love to hear people's stories, and that's just me, I guess. And I love for people to tell their story, because it's also inspiring and encouraging to other people listening. But it also encourages the individual telling the story, because it lets them know that everything that they went through was not in vain. There's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose. The Bible talks about that everything has there's a purpose for everything under the sun. Regardless of what it is, it's just how, you know, we look at it. So this year, the year of Sweet 16, I want to encourage everybody to find their purpose. Find their purpose in everything that they do, and do things intentionally this year. Not just because they need to be done, but with an intention. Just want to do that sad bar, Ms. Tracy. Ms. Tracy, let's now talk about acceptance, emotional, mental, and spiritually acceptance. Let's start with the emotional. Can you give us, out of your personal chest there, what two steps did you have to personally take to accept, you know, what was going on with you emotionally? If
yes,
you can
yes,
just think
yes.
of, like, two right off the top of your head.
Well, I guess the first thing would be is that I never questioned why me. I never questioned that at all. I never said, why me, how come me, you know what I mean? That was not part of my vocabulary. When I was told that and I got over the initial shock, I said, okay, now let me do what I got to do to get to the next level. It was never a question for me at all. And so people, you know, can't believe that, but I was going to die. I never thought that, like you said, I lost my hair. That was devastating to me, because I was one of those females that loved my hair. Can I
okay.
buy a new boob? Yep, I can buy a new boob. can I get through chemo? Yep, I can get through chemo. You know what I mean? And so I've never, in essence, question why me at all.
Wow.
But there was a reason. There was a reason. And then I know the reason, But at that particular time, I like I said before, I walked through chemo with my head up high. You know what I mean? I went into surgery, you know, saying I'm gonna get through this. You know what I mean? I went into radiation, which is so if you think about it, I walked into the room to get my skin burnt off my body. You know what I mean? And so I walked into radiation with like, okay, I can handle this. And so I guess, you know, you can't never question the reason why. There's always a purpose. There's always something. Like I said before, I would have never thought that I'd be walking in this life. And my pastor always said to me, somebody has to be the sacrificial lamb. And so I took it on like that. I took it on like, okay, well, now how people are going to perceive this, how people are going to perceive how you fight cancer, or as you mentioned earlier, how you're going to tackle when things come your way. How are you going to handle that? And so I didn't really think that I knew I was strong. I can tell you I didn't know that I was this strong. I was this strong. I'm being honest. I didn't know that I was this strong. And so the other way is that I really, really relied on my faith. I really relied on my faith. And so, like I said before, I have three pastor friends. And so, you know, they will pray for me. They will, you know, call me up and, you know, and come see me. And so, you know, they read the Bible with me. And, you know, I was in church. And so for me, that was so important because was I a religious person prior? Of course I was. But it brought me closer to this wonderful God. It brought me closer to him. And I believe that he orchestrated all these steps for me. And so who am I to question? Who am I to question? And so again, I just wanted to tell your sister-in-law, because you mentioned her several times, to don't even question it. She's going to get through this. She's going to get through it. And then she's going to have a wonderful testimony after this. And so, again, that's what Tracy Bio does. Tracy Bio is an organization, because remember, it started out as an organization in regards to just making ladies feel comfortable in the skin that they're in while they're going through chemo. And now it's turned to an organization where it's actually a support group. And so I visit people in the hospital when they're going through chemo just to hold their hand, just to bring them flowers, just to make them smile, to say, I understand. We pray together. If somebody says, can you call a friend of mine? I'll call her, and I have my pastor on the line. We pray together. We have life parties, and what that means is that Tracy Bio, we don't focus on death. We focus on life. And so we have life parties. We have life celebrations. We celebrate life. I can't say it enough. We celebrate life. We dance. We joke. We celebrate. We just celebrate who we are because, you know, when you have cancer, for some people, you think that, you know, this is going to take me out. And guess what? It's not going to. If it does, you're still going to fight. You're still going to fight. You need to fight life because I came close to the other side. And so now that I'm actually speaking it and talking about it, I'm going to fight and celebrate life to the fullest. And that's what we talk about, Tracy Byron. We talk about every step, whether it's stage one, whether it's stage four, we're going to celebrate you and celebrate life and the people around you.
Wow.
And so I hope they answer the question.
Yes. No, that's awesome. That is awesome. And what I love about it is what you're talking about really applies to challenging situations, period. You know, whatever someone is going through, anything that is devastating to them, you know, these are like some good things that you can kind of just to kind of remind yourself, because life is still going to go on. You know, it's still going to move forward. And at the end of the day, you know, God has ultimate control over what happens in life is really how you deal with what your journey that brings about the outcome. So that's great. I wanted to ask you, what kind of suggestions would you give, you know, us family members, friends? Because, and I'm only speaking because it's the closest thing to me, like my brother. I know my brother is afraid, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gets frustrated, of course, as a man, to see his wife laid, you know, in the hospital or whatever, and he gets frustrated. And, you know, when we're frustrated, we'll do things unconsciously or subconsciously or whatever. And then she's like, and then she's frustrated because he's frustrated. And I have to remind her, he's scared. You're not the only one that's afraid. you know, or they're scared. Your friends, your family members, even though we want to be strong, when it happens right here, the first thing that pops up is fear. What kind of suggestions would you give to the supporters, friends and family, that's first dealing with that, you know, that until they get over the fear factor? What can we do to help or to assist or, I don't know, support?
Okay.
How can we support?
That's a good question. And I think I can only go by, again, what happened to me. And so when I was first told of this, there were people in my life that sort of kind of stepped away. Instead of stepping closer, they stepped away. And so I was a little bit taken back. And I have to admit, a little angry a little bit in reference to, this is the time that I need you the most. And so where are you at? How come you're not calling? How come you're not, you know, sending me flowers? How come you're not saying anything to me? Text me. And then, as you mentioned, I realized that they were afraid. And people deal with this kind of news differently. And so once I realized that and got over that, I had to look at things differently. So I ask that, you know, those who that are going through cancer and people are not approaching you, don't get mad, because I was a little upset. Don't get upset. Don't get mad, because people, again, deal with things differently. And then, again, for the family member, just be there for that person. And also, what's really important, validate what they're going through. So what I would hear is things like, oh, no, that's not going to happen, or, you know, you're going to be all right. And,
God is a healer.
And mind you, and so at that particular time, I'm telling you, I'd be like, what? Like, no, you're going to be okay. And mind you, and I knew I was going to be okay. So I knew the bigger picture was, I'm going to be okay. But the smaller picture is that, okay, right now, I just have, I have mouth sores, you know, my fingers are turning black, you know, just, I'm not about having pity parties, but just let me stay in that moment for a minute, because it's happening to me.
The reason I'm laughing, Miss Tracy, is because I had a challenging ordeal in my life where I was being evicted. I had relocated to the East Coast, and I had lost everything, and I was being evicted and didn't know what to do or where to go. I didn't really have family and friends here, so it was very devastating for me. And the reason I'm laughing is because I know exactly how you feel. I was mad, angry, and upset all at the same time, but still believing and trusting God, because that's what my faith was. And I'm like, no, God, you ain't going to let me go out like this. But then I'm having people saying, you know, God will never put no more on you to bear. You know, no, it's not that I don't believe that God is going to bring me out, or that, you know, things are going to work in my favor. But right now, at this moment, this is how I'm feeling. You know, and I would tell people, I know God. I pray. That's not what's in question. Right now, I'm mad, angry, and frustrated. I would tell people, so if that's all you have to say to me, and it would just go off. If you haven't been in my shoes and that's all you got to say, then I don't think we need to talk right now. Because I don't want to hear that. I already know that.
But that's how you feel as a patient. You know what I mean? So I'm telling people out there, when you're visiting somebody who's going through devastation, whether it's cancer or whatever, just at that particular moment, and as you said, we have a strong faith, a strong base. But at that moment, I'm mad, and in order for me to get to the other side, I have to just validate that, stay there for just a second, and then so I can get past it. I don't want to harbor anything. And so people had a tendency to do just that. And so I say that someone's going through cancer, just validate their feelings, or as you mentioned, something else, just validate how they're feeling, knowing that there's going to be a better tomorrow, but just validate how I'm feeling today, because mentally, this is a lot. Mentally,
it's,
you know, like I said before, it's a lot now. So 2 years ago, you know, I said I was a healthy female. Now I had both breasts removed. I have 2 implants, you know what I mean? My hair is not what it used to be, and my fingernails fell off, and I'm working on my 6th surgery. But guess what? I'm going to be okay, because I have faith in God. So just validate what I went through for a minute, because it was a lot.
Right.
So I would suggest that the person that that if he's going through whatever he's going through, don't be mad. I mean, don't just validate what the person is going through. Someone said to me, you have new boobies. Oh, I was like, well, yeah, I do, but I didn't want them like this. And so people don't know what to say. You know what I mean? So you have to be careful of that, too. And I laughed about it, and I told the person, listen, you know, and the person apologized, oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And so it is a learning. We're learning as you're learning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I get frustrated, don't get mad at me. When I have a day of pity party, don't get mad at me. Emotionally, this is a lot emotionally. Everything that I thought of to make me a female was stripped of me.
Was taken.
You know what I mean? And so it's emotionally it's a lot. Physically it's an awful lot. But because I have a lot spiritually, that's how I'm getting through it. And so I would just ask that the person that you're sitting next to who's going through a lot, just validate what they're going through. Just validate what they're going through.
Just validate.
Just validate. And if you're going to run, if you're going to run the other way, run back. Run back.
Right.
And tell the person, right. I'm sorry, you know, I was scared.
I was afraid.
And that's what I learned. Like, people get really, really scared. There was a person that I was friends with, and I told the person that, and they just stopped talking to me.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
And then when I felt better, I called. And she said, well, you know what? I was afraid. And she said that. She was afraid. She was afraid.
Mm.
She was checking on me. You know what I mean? She was getting reports, but she didn't know what to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the dialogue opened up right then and there. So I guess you could just ask people, you know, what is it that you need for me to do? What is it that I can say? Because sometimes you can't say anything. Just sit here.
Just be there. I just need you to be there. Yep.
Sometimes you can't say anything. Just hurt woman.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And so I would suggest that if there's someone in your life that's going to cancer, just be there for them. And that's why the support group is so important for us. And through my support group, I found the Pink Sisters. And so what the Pink Sisters is that it is a group of ladies, because one thing to tell you is that the reason why people shun away because they can't relate. They can't relate to you. You know what I mean? They don't understand what you're going through in your head or physically. And so I found a group called the Pink Sisters, which is ladies who are fighting, have gone through the fight, who are survivors, and we talk about it. And how that came about is that one day I was sitting around preparing for the Pink Sister Chronicles. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And so we were sitting around talking with 13 survivors, and we were just talking. And through us talking, a conversation that was supposed to last an hour lasted 3 hours. We were talking about our experiences. We were crying. We were laughing. You know, did this happen to you? Did that happen to you? What happened when this happened? And so I knew something was there. I knew something was there because we turned our conversation into a three-hour conversation, and we didn't want to leave. And mind you, it was on a holiday. It was Memorial Day holiday. We were sitting there talking about it. And so I figured, you know what, well, we have something here because in our community, we don't talk about it enough. And here are these 13 ladies that we just, you know, we're just loving each other and we're sharing experiences. And that's how the Pink Sisters came about. And so, and through the Pink Sisters, the Pink Sister Chronicles came about, which is a book of 13 ladies that are telling their stories before cancer, during cancer, and how they are living their life after cancer. And so, Tracy Bio became this wonderful support group of Pink Sisters who we call each other if somebody is going through, if somebody is newly diagnosed, they call me up. Can you call this person? She doesn't know how to handle it. So then I call this person. And then, okay, can you go to chemo? Or can you call, can you pray? Or can you, this person is scared, she doesn't know what to do. And so I just talk, I'm very transparent, and I just talk about my experiences and what I did. And so we have a lot of Pink Sisters that go around and just talk, and they call Pink Angels. So I'm going to choose the first contact person, and then I have Pink Angels that check on people, the people who actually had surgery and say, you know, I had a mammogram too, and ask this question, or how did you feel? And so, you know, again, in our community, we don't talk about it. And so it was important for me to talk. And so that's how the Pink the Chronicle came about. This book of wonderful ladies who were just living our life, loving our life, and we got sideswiped by cancer. And so the book is called The Pink Sister Chronicles. And and again, it's a wonderful compilation of ladies who are telling their stories from someone who was misdiagnosed at 15 into someone who is 74, I believe.
Wow.
So that's, Tracy Byer has turned into this wonderful support group organization. And again, I was living my life, and all of a sudden I was told this. And it has evolved into this wonderful support group that was needed in our community in reference to, because it actually grew so fast that I'm not really trying to keep up with
I'm
it.
Sure.
And so it's like we have Bio Angels, and we have events, and we just have a lot of things that really speak to, you're my pink sister, come sit beside me. You're my pink sister, let's pray together.
Nice.
You're my pink sister, let's talk. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And so I wish that everybody just, that was going through cancer previously had a pink sister, because it's important that you have someone who knows your walk. Outside of your family, there's a person that knows exactly what you're going through. The person that knows your fears. The person that knows, what's going to happen in the operating room. The person going to know how you're going to feel, how your body's going to change. And so, I wish everybody has a pink sister. In regards to going through this crazy disease. And so that's what we're there for. We're there to help our other pink sisters go through it.
Love, love, love it. Well, right now, I think we have the Radio Angel. Radio Angel, you have something to say, girl? You might have quiet over there.
It's two things I wanted to say. One was a question, because I don't know what, you say stages. You said when you found out you was at a specific stage. What does that mean? I have no clue what that means. Or if you like, I was at stage, I think you said four, and the next thing I know, three. Then the next thing you know, you're saying that you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this, you're doing. I'm like, well, what happened to stage one and two? Like, kind of like skip grades. Like, what does it mean to be in a stage?
Well, it varies per person, and so I need to say that, you know what I mean? So I don't want to give a blanket statement and say, the definition. I can tell you that four means that you're going to be fighting this disease for the rest of your life and the complications that come with it. And so with four is that different, you're always on medication, and it can attack in different places, whether it's your bones, whether it's other organs. So stage four, is the most serious part of having cancer. For me, I was stage three. And so what that looked like for me is that I had to have a double mastectomy. I had to have some of my lymph nodes taken out. I'm working on my sixth surgery. I had 6 months of chemo. I had radiation for 6 weeks back-to-back every single day. You know what I mean? And so it varies with different people. I know someone who had almost stage one, and she didn't have chemo, but she had radiation. And so I can't give you a definition of one, two, three, four. I'll tell you four is being the worst. And then it gets better at three, two, one. And so, you know what I mean? And so that's how I have to define that for you. And again, I have stage three. Stage three was I got both breasts taken off. I had a lumpectomy. I'm taking hormone pills for the next 5 years. I had, again, all the chemo. And so it varies. Cancer is tailored to that person. My chemo concoction was tailored towards me. You know what I mean? How many times I had chemo was tailored towards me. And so, but I can tell you, obviously, as you go up, it becomes more serious. Me being three, and then obviously four.
Okay. All right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was just like, she's like, I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Like, I don't know. It seemed like she just, this is where I'm at. I said, well, what happened to one and two? Like, when you're in school and they skip your grades? So I'm like, what happened?
Exactly. And and lucky for me, and I called my doctor, my little angel, because most people, when they feel a lump, they get a mammogram. Then you have to wait for those results, and then you got to see an oncologist. she immediately told me, gulp fierce, get it, you know, mm-hmm. and just in that moment, I had a biopsy that fast, and then I was diagnosed three days later. Had I waited, it could have been stage four. You know what I mean? And so I said to say that if you have a family history or anything, you feel a lump or your breast is different, please check it out. Please make sure you call your doctor. Please make sure that you tell somebody because, again, I felt a lump. But then I ignored it for a minute. You know what I mean? It went away, and then it came back.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that should have been my red flag right there. You know what I mean? And then my mother, who you know, God rest her soul, she just passed in September. She had breast cancer, but she told her family that it was benign. She told us that, you know, oh no, it's not cancer. But as a precaution, my doctor's going to do X, Y, and Z. And I realized my mom did that to protect me. Mm-hmm. I believe that she did it to protect her family. But had I known that, I would have probably got checked earlier. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm just
right.
saying, if you're on the line, please know your family's history. Please ask questions. Please, you know, don't take anything lightly. The reason why I'm talking about it, the reason why I'm so passionate about it, because I have a daughter. I have a daughter, and I'm making sure mm-hmm. I'm protecting her. And so no more we having conversations behind closed doors, or no more we're not telling us the truth. I am openly talking about it. I'm telling you what I'm going through. So hope that it enables somebody to get a checkup. Hopefully it starts a dialogue in someone's family. Hopefully it saves a life. And so if I, again, have to be the sacrificial lamb, I would do just that. And hopefully it saves somebody's life.
Amen.
But you know what? Honestly, Ms. Tracy, finding out is scary.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Listen. So
you know, finding out is scary.
You're right. So let's stay there for a minute. But guess what? That's what the other alternative is. You got to think of the other alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I questioned it for a minute, like, nah, I got lump on my arm. And then when I went, I was like, why did I not take that seriously a couple of months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the other alternative was that this could have spread faster than I thought, and I could have not been stage three. I could have been stage one or two and saved my breath. Because what happened
mm-hmm.
to me is that it was underneath my arms, my lymph nodes, and then it spread to my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I mean? And so it was only in my lymph nodes, I could have saved my breath.
Mm-hmm.
But because I waited, it spread to my breath. And so you're right, it is scary. But what's the other alternative?
Mm-hmm.
The other alternative is not good. It's not good. So you're right. It is scary. You know what I mean? I cried for a minute. I still cry. I do. You know what I mean? And so it is scary, but the other alternative is that either you're going to lose your life or you're going to lose parts of your body that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's right. You have to get checked.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get
mm-hmm.
checked. It is
you
a scary thing. And so that's why I hold your hand. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm part. Because it is scary. But from a pink sister to a pink sister, I want you to understand that you can get through this. You can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can get through this because I got through it. And I'm still fighting. And I'm still fighting. Again, I'm on my sixth surgery. I'm still fighting. So
mm-hmm.
guess what I'm doing? I'm living life to its fullest. I am living life to its fullest. I really am.
Wow. Well, I wanted to ask
good.
You one other thing. And
mm-hmm.
that was Tracy Bio is about pink sisters to pink sisters and holding each other's hands and being supportive of the person who has surgery. So is there a component of Tracy Bio that is a support team for the family members? So mom has breast cancer and she has a daughter or two, you know, some children or whatever the case is. Do you have a component of Tracy Bio that kind of brings family members kind of together just to kind of educate them, support them, and just have that prayer call like you have had with a lot of the pink sisters?
Yes, there is. And, you know, I don't claim to be a medical doctor. I don't have a degree in this. But one thing, I can just talk to my experience. And so people have reached out to me. You know, I don't know how to talk to my sister. She's depressed. What is it that I can say to her? Or you know what I mean? Or my mom is going through it. What can I do to help her? And so I was in nursery the other day and talking to this young lady, and she said, oh, my mom has cancer. And I thought, so her and I got into a long conversation. for at least a half an hour around the holiday. And so she just wanted to know, as you said, what is it that I need to do? And so we just talked and talked and talked and talked. And I gave her my card. I said, please have her call me, or you want me to come to our home? And so I mentioned to say that, yes, we do have some components. You can call me directly. You can call me directly. And, again, I'm not the expert. I can only tell you what I want, though. And because I have all these wonderful support, these pink sisters, we can tell you what we want. We can tell you what we needed. And, again, let me go back to my daughter, who is 14. And so, again, let me share my experience. My daughter, you know, who always keeps a really happy face, doesn't let anything get her down. And so while I didn't know that she was struggling. And someone said to me, don't have a pity party because you were fighting for your life. And so because I felt really bad that she was struggling because she was trying to be strong for me. And so through her trying to be strong for me, she was internalizing it. And so when the school called me and said X, Y, and Z, I, like, broke down. Like, I can't believe that I missed that mark. And then someone said, well, no, you were fighting for your life, so you really couldn't focus on that. And so from there, you know what I mean, her and I really, really, I attended to her needs, made sure that she was okay, and then we just talk about it. And she knows everything that's going on with me, and I'm checking with her and making sure that you're okay. And she's even part of my book. My daughter's part of my book. Because she wanted to speak about how it lands. My daughter's part of the book. My best friend Phyllis is part of the book. And a couple of my daughter's father's part of the book, who went with me every day to chemo. And so we talk about how it lands. So how it lands and what should we do when it lands? Because, again, it takes a village to fight cancer. It really does. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there is a component. You can reach out to my website. I'm on all social media. I'm on Instagram, Tracy's Bio, TRACISBIO. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Periscope. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. People just inbox me and say, listen, I don't know how to handle this. Or what should I do when this happens? And, again, my website, you know, I have a website, tracysbio.org, and you can just ask questions. You want to volunteer? You want to come to our events? Yes. So there are a lot of streams of communication that we have to say, listen, I'm fighting with this. I don't know what to do. My wife is struggling with this. I'm struggling with this. How can I handle it? And so, again, because we have the support system, I will pick that person or pair that person with the right person to speak with, to have a conversation with. And again, we can cry together. Because again, I'm still crying. You know what I mean? We can cry together. you can feel my heart when I'm speaking with you, because it is a lot. But one thing I don't want you to have while you're going through this, I don't want you to be lonely. I don't, because people often say, you know what I mean, I have a wonderful support system, but I was still lonely. And so I don't want you to be lonely going through this, because that's a lot mentally. That's a lot. And so yes, there are ways that you can reach me. Just to ask questions, or just to say, how do I handle this before I walk through the store with my wife who just had a mastectomy, you know what I mean? How do I handle, what do I say to her? How do I make her feel beautiful while she's still going through this process? But yes, there's ways of reaching out and just ask a question. That's all you can do is ask a question.
Right. It starts with a question. No question is a dumb question.
Wonderful. And you know what? And I started need that because, you know, when you're going through all your doctor stuff, the doctors are telling you from a medical perspective. I want somebody to be there from a human perspective. I want somebody to be there to say, you know, okay, this is real. Okay, all this is going on medically, but this is how it's going to land. And so I needed something, and that's how I was formed, Tracy's Bio, from a human perspective.
Nice. Wonderful. Well, I am definitely going to pass this information on to my sister-in-law as soon as we're finished to make sure that she listens to it and make sure that she gets your information. What are the necessary steps in acceptance? We're just going to do a little recap. Some of the things that I wrote down, I know we talked a lot about cancer, the emotional connection and stuff to cancer, only because that's Miss Tracy's story. But please know that the things that she said applies to any type of trauma or any type of desolate places that you have in your life. You know, you can replace cancer with homelessness or poverty or whatever it is that you're dealing with currently. Make sure that you do not take the entire 2016 just not knowing and not being real about it. So some of the things we said was don't question the reason why. That was so important for me. I had to learn that myself. I started questioning why, and my response was always, why not? And I didn't have an answer, so I stopped questioning that. I stopped asking that question. Also, rely on your faith or what you believe in, the whole premise or the foundation of your belief system as it relates to God or, you know, your belief. That is so, so important because that will be tested more than anything during your time. That will be tested more than anything. And then for the supporters or your family members that's like on the outside, please validate the moment and the feelings that the individual is going through. Don't, you know, I know you want to say the politically correct stuff, but a lot of time that stuff is unnecessary. Or for me, it was very offensive, you know, because then it was like, oh, so now you questioning, you know, blah, 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 or you don't think I remember, or blah, blah, blah. So let's try, as the supporters and the family members, let's try to validate their moment and their feelings and let them have that. You know, I remember when I would ask my sister-in-law, well, how you feel? She'd be like, oh, I'm okay. And I'd be like, no, you're not. You're afraid. You're scared. You're disappointed. You're angry. So I would, like, name the things that I knew that she was going through the situation, and she would be like, yeah. And I would say, you know what, and it's okay. You have a legitimate reason to be all of those things right now. You have a reason to be that. So don't deny that that's what you're feeling and keep faith. No, you're not okay. You're upset. You're mad, angry, disappointed, all of those things. So let's make sure that we validate that moment and stuff, because that really is what brings the relief, because it's like I can acknowledge that this is happening and I won't be judged or looked at any differently. So, of course, always listen to the replay, guys. Ms. Tracy, you have truly been a blessing this morning. Thank you for sharing your story and giving us insight and, you know, letting us hear your heart, because everything you talked about, because you've been through this journey, was heartful because it was heartfelt. I felt it. And I knew that it came from your heart. So I appreciate you just being transparent. And I appreciate you for answering the call. And, you know, what's destined for your life. So all of Ms. Tracy's information will be up on the Facebook page where you can get in contact with her, send her an inbox message, go on her website and, you know, check her out. You may have people that are going through something and they may need the support. Please pass on the information, because I am going to pass it on to my sister-in-law, my brother, and my nieces, because they're the closest. I'm just her prayer partner, but closest was there in the house with her. So make sure you guys go on to the Facebook page, onto the website, to make sure that you get all of Ms. Tracy Smith's information and support her. Support, if you can volunteer, if this is something that is close to your heart, those of you that want to volunteer and support it all, it's just support. It's just time for us to just support worthy causes this year. I have a couple on my list, but, you know, just make sure you make your time available to do things, you know, to donate whatever you can. I don't believe anything is too small. So, Ms. Tracy, thank you again for your time. We appreciate you, ma'am, and we look forward to having you back on our show.
And thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it. And I love Sweet 16. I love it.
Sweet 16. Yes, Sweet 16. Wonderful, wonderful. We will be talking to you soon.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Good day.
Wow. All right, right so now. Awesome. That was
Radio
so awesome.
Angel. Wasn't that good?
That was the best. I was like, wow. I was sitting here taking notes because I feel like though you guys were talking about cancer, it still just resonated with other diseases like what I'm going through with Auntie Brenda and stuff like that. And so, you know, I was really, I felt, you know, because, you know, you don't know what to do. But
you
when
don't.
She was speaking, it just gave me confirmation that I'm doing the right thing by Auntie Brenda.
Aww.
So, you know, I was very happy about that. And she's so strong. I mean, like,
so,
wow.
So strong.
Whoa.
So, and that's how you know. And I remember when I was dealing with my situation, and I remember an elder told me when I was homeless, I was living out of my car and out of a storage space and wherever I can lay my head. This lady said, "You don't look like what you're going through." And she said, "That's how you know that this is ordained for you."
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because
yes.
I was thinking the same thing about Tracy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wow, my God set her up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, and she went out with a crown on her head. Well,
yes.
She's walking with her crown on her head. So I was just
yes.
like, wow. I was so thinking that. As I was listening to it, it was really, oh my God, this was really a good interview. To the point that I cut off the whole in the hood part, like you was about to take us in the hood. But so let us go into the hood of what's going on. In the last couple of minutes of the show, we actually are doing this show for 60 minutes instead of 90. We come back next week and we'll be back on point as far as 90 minutes. But today we wanted to do a 60-minute show. But well, let me tell you what's going on in Hood. As you all know, every third Saturday of the month, Kingdom Life Temple Pantry is giving food out to families. They're located at 3030 Jerome Avenue, right here in the Bronx. Take the 4 train to Bedford Park. Take the 28 bus over to Bedford Park. We're right next to Lehman College. So you can come on out, bring your family, come and get some food. So we not only have food there, but we have clothing, books, and toys and stuff like that. So as we go into the seasons, oh, wait a minute, we already passed the Christmas season, but still in all, it's always nice to have a good game board to play. So come on down again every third Saturday of the month. The other thing is that Lucinda Cross is having her Vision Board Party, the Westchester version, or should I say edition. All information is located on her website at lucindacross.com. Again, at lucindacross.com. Also, she and her husband have teamed up to bring you the man's edition of Activate, the barbershop edition, which will be held on March 20th. Of this year, yay! And you can go to listenthecross.com and get more information about that. They're also looking for male speakers to come on board and join this edition, the barbershop edition, to really bring your message to the men. So if you know somebody that you know has a phenomenal message, have them contact Lucinda Cross at lucindacross.com. Yay! And also, Money Making Mondays is coming back. Just check us out on the website at The Morning Glory International. That's, you know, I do that all the time. I do that every week. TheMorningGlory.org.
You're listening to The Morning Glory.
It's about you.